From VOA, Press Conference USA. Here is your host, Carol Castillo.
Welcome to Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. I'm your host, Carol Castiel. Our special guest on this edition of the program is His Excellency Philippe Etienne, Ambassador of France to the United States. It has become somewhat of a tradition on PCUSA from His Excellency Jean-David Lévite in 2006 to Gérard Araud, Ambassador Etienne's predecessor. We are proud to feature the top Washington-based diplomat of one of America's staunchest friends and allies, the Republic of France. An officer of the Legion of Honor and a commander of the National Order of Merit, Ambassador Etienne has a long and distinguished career in the French civil service. Before assuming his post in Washington in 2019, he served as diplomatic advisor to President Emmanuel Macron. An expert on the European Union, Ambassador Etienne has also served as France's top diplomat in Germany and Romania and held posts in Moscow, Belgrade, Berlin, and Brussels. We will talk with Ambassador Etienne about U.S.-French ties, as well as transatlantic relations in general under the Biden administration. In the first half of the show, we will ask him to reflect on Russia's provocative troop buildup on the border with Ukraine, U.S. plans to withdraw troops from Afghanistan, and prospects for progress in nuclear talks with Iran. In the second half of the program, we will explore France's role and interests in Africa, from the Barkhane counterterrorism mission in Mali to commercial interests in Anglophone countries like Nigeria and Kenya. Ambassador Philippe Etienne joins us via Microsoft Teams. Bienvenue. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much, Carol. Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to continue this beautiful tradition you have described.
Merci. Thank you again. Mr. Ambassador, there are, of course, deep ties between our countries, historical and otherwise, despite occasional trade tensions. What do you think may change for the better or worse under the Biden administration?
Well, thank you for the question. First, we have a very long history. France is not described for no reason as the oldest ally of the United States. And we have a very, very strong partnership also in economy. France is among the top three or four foreign investors by the number of jobs created by French companies, nearly 800,000 jobs in the U.S. And the same in the other direction. So we have this strong cooperation, but now with new administration, we have a positive change in terms of new cooperation possibilities in the international and multilateral institutions. As the very early decisions to rejoin the Paris Climate Accord and to remain in international organizations as important as the World Health Organizations have shown. And on the main issues, nuclear non-proliferation, fight against climate change, and for biodiversity, fight against terrorism, competition to affirm our democratic values, digital revolution, and so on and so on, we have a very, very promising cooperation ahead of us, starting with the climate summit, which will take place next week at the invitation of President Biden.
Exactly, in honor of Earth Day. Let's talk a bit about the U.S. Transatlantic Alliance. On the other hand, are you a bit concerned about what some have described as U.S. fickleness, particularly after the Trump years, where the ex-president was rather quick to criticize allies and either embrace traditional adversaries or at least spare them criticism? Some Western allies question whether one can truly count on trust to the United States, given the political winds here, fearing that another more isolationist or nationalist candidate could emerge after President Biden.
Yeah, the question has been very often asked here in the U.S., and we happen to have elections every 4 or 5 years. It's 5 years in France. That's our democratic organization. On the other end, we have this new administration. President Biden recommitted very strongly to our alliance, including to the NATO and its Article 5. And President Biden also accepted an invitation by the leaders of the European Union, and he participated with a dialogue with heads of state and government of Europe recently through a virtual exchange. So we see very positive signs, and I think there will be anyway, strong elements of continuity. You mentioned the criticisms we received from President Trump. some of them actually have been also expressed, but in quite other ways, of course, by other administrations. When it comes to Europe, the necessity for Europe to make more for our own defense, to take a larger share of the burden. And I think that we in Europe, we have got also this message. And again, it's not only from one administration. And I think that Europe has been changing with the world in the last years. And we will be, I am sure, more and more a reliable partner, being able to take on its shoulders a bit more. And I think it is positive and important for the United States, whoever is here in power.
Mr. Ambassador, I want to turn now to Russia and the problems that we're witnessing, especially with the Russian troop buildup in Crimea and on the border with eastern Ukraine. President Biden just announced tough new sanctions on Russia. He formally blamed Moscow's intelligence agency for the hacking operation here in the United States against government agencies and some of our biggest companies. These sanctions are aimed at choking off lending to the Russian government. And of course, France is no stranger to Russia's interference in its elections. And some of those sanctions are directed at Russia for its interference in the 2020 U.S. elections. Do Russia's actions disturb France as well, or are you, is Paris, equally concerned about Russian President Vladimir Putin's behavior, particularly with the troop buildup?
Well, we have expressed as G7, which means France and the United States included, at the level of our foreign ministers, our deep concern about this buildup of troops at the Ukrainian border. And we have firmly repeated our commitment to support the integrity, territorial integrity and sovereignty of Ukraine in its, as we say, in its internationally recognized borders, which is also a reference to the annexation of Crimea, which we considered illegal. France is very much committed, together with Germany, to a political action through our mediation in the what we call the Normandy format, to try to solve politically, peacefully, the eastern Ukrainian crisis on the basis of the Minsk agreements some years ago. We have indeed, to answer your question, the same concerns, even when it comes to cybersecurity, to interference in elections. You remember what happened in 2017 during the presidential elections campaign in France, which means that we have to be clear-eyed, we have to be firm. But with Russia, when it comes to things we cannot accept, on the other end, we are neighbors in Europe with Russia, so we also have this dialogue on Russia, which is necessary, including on issues like Iran and the JCPOA, the nuclear deal with Iran, or with many other international issues. This is this mix, this combination, which we have been using, and we will continue together with other Western democracies, very, very firm on the issues you have mentioned.
Now I'd like to turn to another area of mutual interest, and that is, of course, Afghanistan. And, of course, we know that President Biden announced the withdrawal of U.S. troops by September 11th of this year. This would mark 20 years of the war. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and, of course, U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin spent one day last week in Brussels with our allies and NATO, and evidently NATO endorsed a withdrawal of its members' troops from Afghanistan following the U.S. lead. I wanted to ask you, Mr. Ambassador, are there French soldiers among the coalition troops? And can you tell us if there's any daylight between Paris and Washington regarding the U.S. decision to withdraw its troops by September 11th?
Well, actually, we have no more troops in Afghanistan. But we had, and we have lost nearly 100 soldiers, 88 soldiers, actually, in Afghanistan during this war. And what's happening in Afghanistan, a country with which we have a nearly 100 years relation, matches very much for us. And we are looking with great attention to what is going now and what will happen in the next months in Afghanistan. We have, in particular, two concerns. One is the security issue concerning the fight against terrorist organizations. You know how this war has started after 9/11. We still have the danger that some terrorist organizations, including ISIS and Al-Qaeda, find some fertile ground to continue some threatening activities from different countries in the world. And we don't want Afghanistan to be one of those countries. So this part of the commitments taken by the Taliban is very important. The other issue, which of course is very important, is the issue of women rights and human rights in general, but in particular rights of women, considering the progress which has been done. Nobody wants in our countries this progress to be lost, of course. Now, as you said, we have had recently discussions with the American administration. We appreciate those consultations, of course, and we will follow up very carefully. France, as a member of the European Union, belongs also to a group of nations, the EU, which is very, very active in Afghanistan, also in all civil cooperations. So from all those points of view, we are, yes, very, very much interested.
But you are concerned about perhaps a premature withdrawal. We only have, that is, the United States only has about 3,000 troops there. Some are worried that a Taliban takeover could happen, especially without a peace deal, you know, a solid peace deal. And as you said, the women's rights, the risk of backsliding.
You know, it's a bit early, although the decision has been announced on the U.S. side, of course, but there are still discussions going on between Afghan parties, with the U.S. Diplomacy is very active, and some others too, to foster an agreement also in Afghanistan. So let's see what will happen, and let's hope for the best.
All right. And one quick question before we go to a break and turn our attention to Africa. Mr. Ambassador, with regard to Iran, the JCPOA, in light of the recent alleged Israeli attack on the Natanz nuclear site, Iran said it was going to start uranium enrichment up to 60%. And of course, this elicited a statement of grave concern from your country, Germany, and the UK. How much of an impediment might this be in getting the United States back into the JCPOA? And how much more difficult is your job in helping to broker relations between Washington and Tehran in light of this development? And of course, the intransigence or the very strong opposition by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to the JCPOA.
Well, you're right to say that the difficulties are still bigger with the latest Iranian announcements. And although it is not the first decision we have been very much concerned about taken by Iran, but the general objective remains the same, and it has been always the same since we have negotiated the JCPOA, which is to be sure that Iran will not acquire and will never acquire military nuclear capacities. And so it's primarily an objective of non-proliferation of nuclear weapons, which remains absolutely essential. And unfortunately, we find ourselves in a situation where we are a bit further from this objective. But this objective remains, and I think it is common. What is new since the beginning of the year, of course, is the policy, the goal by the U.S., because the new administration has said, and Iran too, by the way, that both countries want to go back to compliance with the JCPOA. So, and you're right, Carol, to mention, together with France, UK, the United Kingdom, and Germany, because we are the so-called E3, we are the three most active countries in this, together with Russia and China. We also signed the JCPOA. We really continue to work and to do as much as we can to achieve this result. And not forgetting that we want not only to come back to the compliance with the JCPOA, but also to build a stronger framework for the future, taking into account also the concerns of the other countries of the region in terms of security of the region beyond the content of the JCPOA itself.
We'll be back in just a moment. But first, you're listening to Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. Our guest is His Excellency Philippe Etienne, the Ambassador of France to the United States. He joins us via Microsoft Teams as we continue to practice social distancing. I'm Carol Castiel, and this is a reminder that our Press Conference USA podcast is available for free download on our website at voanews.com/PCUSA. You may also follow us on Twitter or connect with us on Facebook at Carol Castiel VOA. Well, here's a big shout out to a loyal listener from Cameroon, Mohamedou Saidou Treka. If you want to hear your name and home country on the air, please send an email to PCUSA@voanews.com or like us and leave a comment on our Facebook page. And I would like to remind our listeners to tune in to our sister current affairs programs, Encounter and Issues in the News. On Encounter, we examine the epidemic of gun violence in America. Why are we seeing a rise in homicides and mass shootings? I speak with two young analysts about their perspectives on the root causes of gun violence in America, which can also be characterized as a public health crisis. Despite the surge in gun violence, our panelists are cautiously optimistic, particularly in light of recent executive orders issued by the Biden administration. On Issues in the News, moderator Kim Lewis talks with two VOA correspondents about the status of the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, who was charged in the killing of George Floyd. They will also discuss President Biden's announcement of the imminent troop withdrawal from Afghanistan, sanctions on Russia for interfering in U.S. elections, and for executing the SolarWinds cyber attack, among other top domestic and international stories of the week. So back to our special guest, His Excellency Philippe Etienne, Ambassador of France to the United States. Mr. Ambassador, let's turn our attention now to Africa. Of course, France has been traditionally active in its former colonies, and now, of course, it's very much the lead in this counterterrorism mission in the Sahel, in Mali, in, you know, pushing back on Islamist groups, terrorist Islamist groups in Mali, Niger, Burkina Faso. Talk about the state of this particular mission. Where do things stand, and what are the prospects for wrapping it up?
Well, thank you for the question, because it's so important for my country, and most importantly for the countries of the Sahel region. There is, since we came to help Mali, which was threatened by an invasion by jihadist groups, of course, we have made quite a lot of progress in working with the armies of this region, and because the goal, of course, must be that these countries can cope alone with the terrorist threat. And so we have made many efforts, not only France, but also other European countries and also the United States, in building up the capacities, or in helping those countries to building up their own capacities. We must never forget that this is really essential as a goal. But there is, by the way, this conflict, which is has a broader context, or two broader contexts: the fight against terrorism in general, both against ISIS and against Al-Qaeda. But ISIS was defeated in Syria and in Iraq. It lost its so-called caliphate, its territory, but they are still there, and not only in Sahel, but also in other regions. And the second broader context is that we want the Africans to, and in this respect, we have a global dialogue with the African Union, with all African countries, in the United Nations, in the African Union. We want the African nations to be also able to follow on their own plans, to be able to ensure the security of their continent and of their region. Coming back to the Sahel, I would also say that something absolutely important is a link between military and civilian cooperation. You will never solve such problems without a strong development policy, and we try also to be helpful there. In a nutshell, where are we now? We have made progress, but these organizations, these terrorist organizations, try always to reorganize themselves. And we have had two summits, one in Pau in France at the beginning of last year, one more recently this year in Chad, in N'Djamena, who have shown a real common purpose of the countries of the region, and also both on the military front with a multilateral force of those five Sahel countries, the G5 Sahel, and also on the political side, and also which have showed a common and stronger purpose among European nations. More and more European countries coming to participate to this effort led by France and French troops on the side of the countries of the region. Finally, we benefit from a very, very important support by the U.S., a logistical intelligence support, which matters also very much.
Mr. Ambassador, what about the public opinion, both in France and in Mali in particular? We're reading that many French are anxious to see the troops return. Of course, you're caught in this dilemma between finishing the job, as you said, passing the task to the local leaders and civil society. And also there's some opposition emerging in Mali against the French presence. How do you see that?
Well, I say it is normal that we have these debates in our democracies. And second, I don't see these debates taking a shape of like French people not understanding what is at stake. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think this what is at stake is well understood. The fight against a terrorist threat of this kind is vital, first for the countries which are attacked by those terrorist organizations, and the people who are attacked in their lives, but also in their freedom first, but also for our own countries. And I think that the French people understand that the stake is big. You know, we have been ourselves attacked on our French territory by those organizations. So although, again, the debate, and it's normal to ask questions, both in the Sahel countries, and in particular in Mali and in France, I think the what is at stake is well understood in our countries.
Mr. Ambassador, I'd like to turn now to the French strategy, if you could call it that, in expanding into the Anglophone countries like Ethiopia, Kenya, Nigeria. Is there such a strategy, and what are your objectives?
I would say that the strategy is to have a relation, I mentioned it already, for security policies with the whole of Africa, to establish an equal partnership, a partnership between equals for the times now and for the times to come, with Africa as a continent which is so important for the whole international community on global challenges like climate, on global health. This is the reason why we and our president visited Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya. He visited also Ethiopia, for instance. He visited also a lot of French-speaking countries, especially in Sahel, of course. But to make clear that we want to speak with all the Africans with this shared goals and this partnership between equals.
And what about Nigeria? Do you have specific goals or ambitions in that large Anglophone country? I know President Macron apparently enjoyed his visit there in particular.
Well, yes, of course, because we visited some very, very, we had the political conversations, of course, with the president and the government. But our president had a personal interest, of course, with this country. And we visited very, very important but cultural places like the shrine, where, you know, many things happen in the history of African music with Fela Kuti. And so it's a huge nation. It's a very important country. We think it's a very good signal, and we supported her that Dr. Ngozi was elected general director of the World Trade Organization recently, and we have supported her candidature. So yes, it was a very important travel for not only for economic reasons, but also for because we have this global partnership now with such countries, which we have had before in other countries in other regions of the world.
How about Kenya? Anything specific bilaterally with the country of Kenya or Ethiopia? And of course, acknowledging that Ethiopia is in a terrible conflict in the Tigray region, and I'm sure that's of deep concern to France as well.
Yes, well, the visit I mentioned happened before this conflict we have now, but of course we follow this very, very carefully, and Ethiopia is absolutely a strategic country and partner. And the visit, those visits in those two countries, of course, were also with countries with each in their region plays a very important role. They had also cultural and economic dimensions. We're interested to contribute to the development of infrastructures. We're interested to contribute to the development of those countries in a responsible way, especially in terms of indebtedness. Globally, we will organize, France will organize on the 18th of May, a conference on the financing of African economies. We have been very active in the G20 last year to take the first measure, especially on a moratorium on the payment of interest to the public debts. So you see, we are very, very much involved in issues of development, which have the more structural importance for the future, not only of Africa, but of all of us.
Indeed. Mr. Ambassador, I want to turn now to Rwanda and, of course, the report that was published last month. President Emmanuel Macron commissioned the report over France's role during the 1994 Rwandan genocide, and it was concluded in the report that it was a failure, that French authorities remained blind to preparations for genocide, and that they supported the racist and violent government of then Rwandan President Juvenal Habyarimana. Habyarimana. So let me ask, what's the significance of this report? Our cards will be opened, I believe, very soon. And talk about the significance and how this is going to perhaps positively affect your France's relations with Rwanda.
Well, our relations with Rwanda have already improved in the last years, but indeed the report commissioned to this committee chaired by an historian, Mr. Duclerc, the report is a result of 2 years of research. And as you said, there is on one side a remarkable scientific work, but it's also the opening unprecedented access to all French archives relating to Rwanda and to this terrible period of the genocide and the years preceding the genocide. So it's a considerable step forward in the understanding and qualification of what happened in Rwanda, and especially of the engagement and the role of France in Rwanda. And in this respect, it's also probably an important step to continue the way of improving our relations with this country.
I wanted to just go back to Mali to ask you a question regarding setting a date for the presidential election. It seems that there's a lack of a clear timeline for the end of transition in Mali. Does that concern France as well? I know it's of concern to the United States.
Well, I think we had very clear positions when the transition has started on the benchmarks and which the Malian authorities themselves have decided. So I'm sure we will look with attention how these decisions will be implemented, of course.
Once again, on the French troop presence in Mali and how effective you think the mission has been, the Barkhane mission, which is not quite as popular as the first mission, which was known as the Serval mission. You know, how long do you think the French are planning to be there? Do you think that progress is being made, or, you know, do you think there'll be that sense of a quagmire? Just sum up again for us how you see the mission and in achieving its objectives.
First, progress has been made, including in the fight against those terrorist organizations. Definitely, progress has been made. And second, it's in such situations, it's never possible to say exactly, to give exactly an idea of how long we will stay. But the progress will be assessed regularly, both militarily and politically, together with the countries of the region. We have started this new process with the two summits in Pau and N'Djamena, and they are giving good results, both on the military and on the political levels.
His Excellency Philippe Etienne is the ambassador of France to the United States. Mr. Ambassador, thank you again. Merci beaucoup for sharing your insights on so many issues of mutual interest to our two countries.
Thank you. Thank you, Carol, for having had me. Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate it very much.
Press Conference USA on the Voice of America was produced in Washington with technical assistance from Rick Pantaleo. I'm Carol Castiel. Join me again next week for another Press Conference USA on the Voice of America.